This podcast is brought to you by Civic Tech Innovation Network in partnership with Voice of Vets.
Welcome back to Civic Tech in Africa podcast. I am your host, Nati Mqega. Thank you for making it to another episode of this podcast. We are talking about education and bridging the digital divide between rural and urban areas. I am joined by an award-winning entrepreneur from Mozambique, Dane Amade, who is going to be talking to us about this education called the Community Tablet. Dane was also part of the Civic Tech Innovation Forum that happened this September. He was one of the exhibitors there. So I'm so happy to have him here. Hi, Dane.
Hi. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you so much for making it here.
I thank you for the invitation. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now, like, we're going to talk about, so you call it the tablet comunitario in Portuguese, and you also call it the community tablet, right, in English. I'm very, very interested in what triggered the launch, and why did you think this was an important initiative to start?
Well, first of all, I want to explain why I choose the name community tablet. I chose the name Community Tablet because we designed a tablet for everybody, a tablet which can be used and shared by everybody. This Community Tablet is mobile and can be everywhere, anywhere. It's powered by solar panel and everybody is free to use. That's why we did, we chose the name Community Tablet.
And when did you guys launch it?
Well, we did start this project about 5 years ago. I was the concept author, and I put the team together in Mozambique in order to build our first prototype. That was 5 years ago. It was our first prototype. We had to do everything from scratch without any tutorials to follow because it was something very, very new. And we struggled in the beginning, but struggle is good because it helps you to improve. And I would say that after 6 to 8 months, we had our product full operational. I'm talking about from the 5 years.
Yes.
In the beginning was a bit difficult because this is mobile.
Yes.
As you may be aware, our road conditions in Mozambique, and especially going to rural communities in remote areas, is like very, very bad in terms of road conditions. And we face a lot of challenges, but we managed to have our prototype operational. And today we are proud to say that we made something which it has an importance in those communities.
And so what was the gap that you saw that these communities needed that then, you know, made you to start and think about this concept in the first place?
I'll just give you a very simple example. We in urban communities, let's say that you go and buy something which needs assembly. We don't read manuals anymore. What we do, we go to YouTube and we see the quickest way to learn how to assemble that specific thing. And we do it very quickly. Instead of reading manuals, which could take us 10 minutes, 20 minutes, one day, if you go to digital tutorials, in just 2-3 minutes, you can learn exactly how to do it, and you do it.
Right.
So in rural communities, I believe, we believe that it was the same problem.
Right.
Most of these communities were surrounded by resources, but they just don't know how to use those resources in their favor. And the way things has been done in the past, lots of NGOs and government organizations, they used to go to those communities with pamphlets, leaflets, and to do speech, to teach perhaps communities or to empower the communities on how to do certain things,
right?
Or how to be aware of certain things. But our study showed that it's very difficult even for us just to listen to somebody to explain us how to do it, or by reading a leaflet. The example I gave you about the when we buy something and we want to assemble it.
Right.
And we found that it's much easier in that communities to empower them in audio, visual, and digital format. So that's how we do it. We go to a community just to explain a bit more on our operations. We arrive in the communities. We always work in alignment with government programs. And we prepare contents on specific topics which we're going to present. And the topics which we present are always done in partnership with Universidad Eduardo Mondlane, which is the biggest university in Mozambique. The reason why is because in the past, we made a lot of mistakes by thinking if we just put a digital content in forms of video or cartoon, people will understand and people will like. But we realized from our mistakes that every content has to be prepared according to their habits and culture. And for that, we use anthropology and sociology to prepare the content before we deploy in the communities, because every community is different.
Right.
And they think different, they have different culture, they have different habits. So we have to deploy the contents respecting those aspects.
Right.
And our unit don't only play videos, but we also have two-way broadcasting communication, which means that what we are doing now, our system is also prepared to do video call conference. Because after videos, people always may have questions and they need answers to be okay.
So it's a two-way street. So you guys, so whoever comes in, you come in and have this audio visual educating people about something, but there's also a way for them to give feedback.
That's correct.
Right.
And considering that some communities, they have data network and others, they don't have data network, our system can also connect to satellite, which means that satellite connections will also allow a video call conference.
Right.
We also have an offline functionality, which means that we prepare a robot with questions and answers. Which means that the robot can identify by word recognition certain types of questions, because questions have to be very straightforward. And also, if you know our unit, we have two sides. One, we have a big screen for the videos. And on another side, we have a 4 touchscreen units implemented.
Right.
Which means that the users are also submitted to digital quizzes. Which means that we also want to create interactivity in those communities.
Right.
So people don't just see a video, but they also interact with our units, which means that we prepare digital quizzes and they are able to see, for example, 1 question and 3 answers. And they select which is the correct answer. If they respond wrong, the system will also validate if it's right, if it's wrong, or if it's wrong, which one is right.
Right.
And we always associate the text to images, because in the communities, some people cannot read. Most people cannot read.
Right.
Yeah, they can't read. So they associate the questions on the image and the answers also with images. And that allows also to us to include people with some visual and the audio problems. Some people cannot see, some people cannot hear.
Right.
And we also have a word recognition digital quiz. So we put everybody interacting, which is the beauty of this.
And for people who don't know this, I mean, I've seen pictures of this tablet that you're talking about. It's a very huge machine that you transport around the country. And I know on the website, it says sometimes you use a horse, sometimes you use a car, you use a truck, but it's this very, very big machine that can interact with like more than one person at a time. I've seen the groups of people just like around this machine. and all engaging with it at the same time. I mean, how is that experience? I mean, and is that helpful that it's that huge, that huge of a machine?
Well, the reason because it's huge, we interact with communities. So must be in groups of people. Again, we have a live screen where we can attend more than 100, 200 people at the same time to see the video. And that's very important in the community because we couldn't have small laptops or small tablets and give each one for them to see the video, then right. For them to interact. That would be very difficult. Mm. But the reason is of its dimension is because we need to create a scenario where group of people can have access. And that machine is powered by solar panels, which means that, we use solar energy for our activities.
Mm.
And that's the reason that right. We have a big infrastructure.
And you mentioned earlier that, you know, some people that you interact with aren't necessarily educated. And so it's very difficult for them to interact. So it's very good to have pictures, right, to interact with them. I mean, what are some challenges as well, besides that of people not being educated, that you face there? And how have you gone about resolving those challenges?
Well, one of the main challenges in these days of COVID, where we need the physical distance, because when we arrive to those communities, we create a lot of agglomeration. So one of the biggest challenges in these days, we have to arrive like quietly, go a bit out of the village, create a perimeter. By using local authorities, we identify groups of people to call them to attend. And that's one of the difficult things for us to do because this was created for everybody to free come and watch and interact, et cetera, et cetera. But now we have to take some precautions because of the new reality.
Before COVID, I mean, even now during COVID, I mean, what kind of impact have you been able to have? I mean, with these communities, are you seeing that people are more informed? Are you able to come back to these communities and see that people are better educated about these things? I mean, have you been able to measure the impact that you're able to have with this platform?
During COVID, when COVID started in Mozambique, a lot of people in rural communities, they didn't have the enough information because right. Some communities, they have radios, but they'll just explain that we have COVID, which is a respiratory disease. But those people didn't have much information on it. We did a pilot project with the government of Maputo, municipality of Maputo, okay? And we went to some communities and we realized that people didn't have a clue of how to prevent COVID because, to tell people to wear masks, I mean, it's very difficult if you don't explain to them, if you don't show to them, if you don't teach them how to do it. Mm. I mean, just by radio, I mean, it's quite complex or complicated. And again, going back to my first approach, and when you go there and you do a speech, most of the times people may look at you and they may think, this guy is not even part of this community. What does he know better than us?
Yes.
So that's why it's important to prepare content according to their habits, their culture, to involve the local and traditional authorities.
Yes.
And we did the pilot and we showed them exactly what was COVID. We showed them how COVID was killing around the world. And we realized that after people see the video, they start covering the nose, the mouth, they start distancing from each other. And I mean, we saw the impact of that and measuring the impact. In Mozambique, for example, rural communities didn't have much in terms of contamination compared to us in urban
communities.
Yeah, and we were concerned that the rural communities could have a negative impact for the COVID.
Right,
but fortunately not. I'm not saying that it's because of our unit, because I believe the government did all they could do to mitigate this.
Right.
But we also were part of the process, at least in South during our pilot project.
Right. And so did you find that, you know, the community tablet is a very good way of interacting with people on the ground about things from the government or things generally that they might need to know? So I see that. So you said earlier that you have partnered with the University of Eduardo Mondlane to educate people, right? Other than that partnership, have you been able to make more partnerships really to educate people about things that they need to know?
Yes, we have partnership in place with the Ministry of Education, with Ministry of Health, with Ministry of Science and Technology, and with some NGOs in Mozambique. Our unit is a way of communication using a context of rural community. So we can deploy anything, I mean, on our unit. Let me give you one example. Some communities, they suffer from subnutrition. I mean, the nutrition levels are very, very, very low. But those communities are surrounded with botanical resources. So just by going to those communities and teach them how to make use of the botanical resources in partnership with the Minister of Health, for example, putting in nutrition doctors on board. So we can sometimes, or most of the times, most of the resources around people are useful for them. In this particular case of nutrition, we can teach people how to take some leaves and mix with hot water, mix with that, ABC. And if they take that, they can make the nutrition level stable. I mean, this unit was really created to empower people in those communities, to empower people in Africa, in order to see if we can catch up with the rest of the world.
Right.
Because one of the biggest problems of or causes of poverty is absence of knowledge. If people are empowered, if we teach people how to do certain things, people become self-sustained,
right,
sustainable, and we can reduce eventually the level of poverty. Because to reduce poverty is not about you going there and give money to the people and say, listen, you know, we're not doing anything. Another example, which I'd like to give it to you. We did an event some years ago, was about malaria. People received nets to cover themselves to prevent mosquitoes to bite them. But most people use those nets for fishing. And we teach those people, like, if you use these nets for fishing, you are devastating the whole fish on the river or on the sea, because those nets are not appropriated to do fishing. And on the next season, you'll not have any fish to eat. So it's this type of things where people need to understand how to do it, why not to do this, etc. And that's why we create this machine, this equipment, which is already patented. We patent our innovation. Even in South Africa, we have our patent registered in South Africa.
Right.
And the idea is that to empower people, to increase their quality of life, et cetera, et cetera.
I want to talk about you a little bit. You've been described as a serial entrepreneur, right? I imagine that means you have a lot of experience in establishing businesses and social enterprises like the community tablet. And you've experienced some failures and some successes, right, through your entrepreneurship journey. What would you say are some of the biggest lessons you have taken from all your work, just establishing businesses and running them over the years?
The advice I give to everybody, it's not easy to be an entrepreneur. I mean, you can start something, you can have an idea, and for that to pick up, that can take some time. You must believe in what you're doing. What you're doing must make sense. What you're doing must be aligned with the direction the world is taking, and don't give up, because right, otherwise, if you start something and at the middle of the road you give up, be sure that someone else is waiting for that moment to take what you've done and proceed.
Mm.
So my experience is we have to be patient. It's not easy, especially for us Africans. I mean, any idea in Europe or America, they have the right support. I'm not saying here that we don't have the support. We do have the support,
right?
But the support is very, very limited.
Mm-hmm.
But in that part of the world, you just have to dream on something and tomorrow can become a store of success.
Right. Yeah. And just picking up from that is that, you know, like in South Africa, really, establishing a business has its own challenges, but establishing a tech-focused, digital-focused business must have its own challenges as well. Do you remember any of these challenges that you might have faced just establishing this tablet, for instance, this big digital platform and moving it around the country? Because you said you use solar power and all that stuff, but any other challenges that you faced because of this, you know, this tech platform that you have?
Yes, one of the challenges which we faced is like people didn't know about that, and we remember small kids taking stones and trying to scratch the monitor. Hey. They didn't know what they were doing.
Of course.
Was a big challenge for us to rethink how to protect those monitors against those type of situations. That was one of the biggest challenge. And the, another challenge that we faced on our interactive screens, I mean, we found out that only the strong guys wanted to stay there longer. They didn't let the girls, for example, to have access because, you know, and we had to create a situation where we put the chronometer. I mean, if you're there, the system can take you a picture or can take your fingerprints, and you have five or 10 minutes to use it.
Right.
After you finish, you have to go out and you must give space to another person. And that was another challenge which we had. Other than that was road conditions. I mean, we have a lot of potholes in our road, especially going to remote areas. And we had to reinforce the equipment inside, the way we tied things inside for the screens, for the solar panels, for the inverter. And we face also here a lot of high temperatures.
Mm.
We have to improve our cooling system on our units.
Mm.
I mean, we had quite a few challenges because it's not easy from day one to put something together, technical, right, and put on the in the middle of nowhere.
Right. You know, at the STEV conference that happened in September, the theme was DIY Africa, right? Doing it yourself Africa. I mean, what does that mean for you, especially as somebody who's in a, you know, having this initiative, the computer tablet, and just taking it to people, making sure people are educated about important issues? What does the theme of DIY Africa mean to you?
Well, my understanding is like we all have to do what we can to put Africa to catch up with the rest of the world, to empower people and more people, to educate more people and put them self-sustainable and take us to another level. That's
right.
What we need.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. And I know that there are some young entrepreneurs who are coming in after you, who are working right now, you know, establishing some digital platform or, you know, establishing some app somewhere. And they may be facing some challenges right now, Dane. What words of wisdom would you give them as young entrepreneurs who are trying to be this DIY people, who are trying to bridge the gap?
As I said in the beginning, they have to align the ideas with the route the world is taking. It's the same as fashion. I mean, if you in the fashion industry, you have to align your mindset to the route the world is taking. Otherwise, you'll be 5 years back, 10 years back. We have to align. The way the world is going, that's the way, whatever we are doing, we have to align our things to the new future.
Dane, thank you so much for joining us for our podcast. It's been great having you.
Great having you, and thank you very much for this attention. It was a privilege for me to be here. Looking forward to hear from you again.
All right. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Now, I'm going to share a thought from Rapelang Rabana. She says, innovation is a conviction that things could be better. That's your innovation thought for the day. We'll be right back after this. That concludes this episode. Don't forget to subscribe and review the podcast, and please see the episode description for all the places you can follow and engage with the Civic Tech Innovation Network. Until next time, goodbye.
This podcast was brought to you by Civic Tech Innovation Network in partnership with Voice of Vets.